Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and today's topic is pretty cool. It's on twin sisters who committed murder back in 1933. They committed a brutal murder of their employer, and this story has a little bit of everything in it. We're going to get to it in just a second. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. I'm joined by always by the very lovely and talented, multi-color-haired, just a wonderful lady by the name of Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm fine, Tim. You sound a little flat today. What's the matter?
You do sound a little flat to me.
I don't know. I'm very happy. I went to my doctor. He just called and said my health is excellent. I'm going to have Thanksgiving tomorrow, and life is good. How about you?
Where are you having Thanksgiving?
I don't know, but I'm having it somewhere.
Are you going to have it at Charles's house?
No.
Are you going to be with Dottie?
I don't know.
You should be with Dottie. She's lovely.
Why would you not be? Dottie, if Timmy ain't coming over to your house, you can come over to my house, Dottie.
Okay. Before we get into shout-outs, though, Brandy, what do you have to say for yourself today?
No, what? Why would I have to say anything for myself
today? Justify your existence, Dottie.
I just want to know if you had anything.
I would prepare better.
Do you want to say anything to our audience? It's the holidays.
Is there anything in your defense that you would like to add?
It's the holidays. Do you have any nice things to say to our listeners?
Well, of course I do, but I will save them until the end when we are signing off, and then we will wish everyone a very...
You think people listen that long?
Happy and healthy Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. Are you going to watch Trains, Planes, and Automobiles? Because you know that's a traditional.
That's a good one. I don't know if I will or not. I don't know.
There's really no Thanksgiving song, is there?
Yeah.
Over the River and Through the Woods.
No, it's not. They're not traditional songs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I just said. There's no traditional Thanksgiving song.
But there are lots of... No, you didn't say traditional. You said Thanksgiving songs.
Let's go to the tape.
Yeah. You said Thanksgiving songs. And there are plenty of Thanksgiving songs.
I've never heard of it.
If you ever spend a Thanksgiving in my house, it would be Bruce Springsteen, Badlands.
I haven't introduced you yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, Timmy.
You're not even officially here yet.
He is on a tear today. My God.
What would you say her hair color is today?
Today is the same as it was yesterday. The day before.
No, it changes. It's like
it
one
doesn't.
Of those. It's you got mood hair. It's like one of those old mood rings.
Yeah,
I do
mood
not
rock.
Have
got
mood hair.
Mood rock.
Mood rocks. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I'd say it's a little
hateful today.
It screams spite, Timmy. It screams anger. Yeah. Hatred toward mankind.
She is right, then. It never changes.
Never, no.
Yeah, maybe when she's asleep.
Okay.
Okay, let's introduce, while we're on the topic, let's introduce the most dangerous man in podcasting, the very debonair and very intelligent. And he was voted the man most admired on the History Dweebs podcast, and that is...
Was he?
Yes.
I thought he was voted most likely to get punched in the face.
Colonel Charles Beauregard, Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
You know, Timmy, I'm excited and I'm agitated at the same time.
What are you excited about?
Well, I'm excited because tomorrow's going to be for those outside of America, the U.S., is Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the day that we thank, you know, we're thankful that we came in and slaughtered Indians and took over their land and whatnot.
That's not nice.
But
it wasn't
anyway,
nice. It was bloody.
We're thankful for the smallpox that wiped them out. But anyway, so we're thankful for that. But the boys all come home for Thanksgiving, and it's, you know, there's only 5 or 6 days a year that I have all four of my kids in a house together.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, along with those boys comes, well, the missus. And when there's a holiday at the house, Timmy, she just go batshit crazy.
I mean, why do you say that? Renee's a very nice lady. I can't imagine her going batshit crazy.
Timmy, she had me cleaning the bathroom ceilings last night.
Maybe she's nesting. Could she be in a family way?
No, she's just crazy. It ain't nesting. It's just crazy. I told her I'd clean up the bathroom for her. I cleaned up the bathroom for her. Now, you know the Colonel, my station in life cleaning bathrooms is, you know.
Yeah, it's below you.
It's far below
you. Now, if Christine and Leah Papin, who we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, were there, they would clean your bathrooms for you.
They would clean my bathroom. They do other stuff I would not like.
Yeah.
But, so we... You know, me and Logan got together last night, and we decided it's not Thanksgiving. We're going to call it Misery Day, because the 3 days leading up to Thanksgiving, the woman puts everybody in so much damn misery, because you can literally eat your Thanksgiving dinner off the back of my toilet, but it still ain't clean enough, Timmy.
Well, she's just looking out for the welfare of her family. She's nesting a little bit. She's got all her kids home, so she wants the place clean.
And then, of course, we got the next day, Black Friday, which always amuses me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think I saw me.
Isn't it Black Thursday now? Can they start?
They start on Thanksgiving. What the hell? And you sit down, and this is what I like. You know, you get together with your family and your extended family in many cases.
All Fridays matter.
And, yeah. Well, that's true. And you get together with your family, extended family, and a lot of times, Timmy, you don't like your extended family.
Mm-hmm.
You know that feeling. So you're sitting there, and the only thing you're thankful for is these some bitches are going to be leaving your house sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm thankful
for.
You're
anxious to get to the dessert so they get the hell out of your house.
Yeah, they come to your house, they drink your beer, they eat your food, you know.
So like 35 minutes into, you're bring on the pumpkin pie.
Yeah, and then, you know, I have to go to the grocery store because for whatever reason, you know, and Mrs. does do a lot of shopping, but she never buys alcohol. And the Colonel, you know, I'm a teetotaler.
Right.
I don't want to buy a bit of devil juice. And,
right.
But then she sends me up to get alcohol for the heathens that are going to be coming to my house.
Those who partake in the drink.
They do not
follow your kids are drunks.
The footsteps of the Lord, and they do the devil juice. And,
is this going anywhere, Colonel?
No.
Yeah. Do you know how much beer costs him?
Straight into the ground is where it's going.
And you can't come home. I come home. I got a 12-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon. And I'm like, yeah, it's beer. It's beer all the same.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, we can't sell Pabst Blue Ribbon to people. That would be...
Hell
with them. They could bring their own damn beer.
I think that's a hipster beer now, isn't it?
I think it's pretty cheap.
I'm not a hipster.
No,
and in Cincinnati, we have a local brand called Hootie Delight that's fairly cheap, too.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't allowed to buy that. I'm buying some shit called Yingling.
Yingling. Yingling's good.
Yingling. It's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Quit crying.
Okay, Colonel, we're having shout-outs quickly so we can get on to
that. Well, of course,
podcast.
We got lovely Dottie. Dottie, happy Thanksgiving to you. We got Celine, who always just gives us great ideas for shows. Allie, we'd like to give you a shout-out.
Yeah, she just joined us a week or so ago. Thank you for joining us, Allie. We appreciate it. She's very active on the Facebook page, too.
She is, and we appreciate that greatly. Lady Beverly. Now they don't have Black Friday there, and they don't have Thanksgiving there. They have Boxer Day.
Day after
and,
Thanksgiving.
Day
I
after
mean, day
Thanksgiving.
After Christmas. Day after Christmas.
Huh?
It's the day after Christmas.
I thought it was the day after we had Thanksgiving.
No,
but what they do is apparently, and it does. I guess it doesn't get that cold there, maybe. And everybody walks around in their boxes.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think you nailed it.
No, what she told me is
this. He's so very smart. Good thing you introduced him that way.
Lady Beverly, the way she explained Boxer Day was that the posh people of Britain decided to be kind and give their servants the day after Christmas.
Don't they switch roles?
Yes, and they give those people the day off and they wait on them.
Yeah, I often do that sometimes with my dates.
No, that's role playing, Timmy. That's different.
It is the day after Christmas, the 26th.
Yeah, that's called Boxer Day. And
they get a Christmas box from their boss.
Do you get to punch people in the face?
No, they get the box. The employers give their employees a box, and I'm guessing there's.
I would hope there's stuff in it.
I would hope so too. But that is so. We're ignorant about Boxer Day, so we apologize for that. But maybe
I'm not ignorant about it. Lady Beverly explained it all to me.
Well, then what's your excuse for jacking it up?
I just spilled it out. That's okay. What it is.
Any other shout outs, Colonel?
I got to give a shout out to. Did I give Dottie a shout out already?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you
can't
did.
Give Dottie too many shout outs.
What about Canute?
Oh, and Canute. I wish I had Thanksgiving over there because Storm could use some good turkey. The dog deserves a whole turkey for himself. Mm-hmm. A whole big deep fried turkey for Storm.
Okay. Any other shout outs?
Why don't you tell me?
How about Casey?
Casey, you're Republican lunatic. We miss you up here.
Ted Cruz is on the move.
You know what? I got Casey. For some reason,
Casey?
I did not have Casey's phone number. But now I got Casey's phone number. And Casey is now taken to referring to his. And everybody knows that Casey is the devil's brother.
He was the twin. Or he was a good child.
He refers to his sister as the devil now.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
We was texting the other night, and she said something. He said, quiet, devil. We'll cut you out of this conversation altogether.
And, of course, happy Thanksgiving to Brittany.
Oh, Brittany, you little lunatic. You know, she had a problem with getting a ceiling things. Brittany, this is the kind of girl Brittany is. She, like the Wile E. Coyote, a 25-year-old girl, she had a curtain rod. She had to get up to her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brittany live on the 18th floor, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
She thought she'd just hook it up to a fishing pole.
I know.
And reel it up. You know what the girl tried to do, though? Because you know the girl, she a pretty girl and she a charming girl.
Mm-hmm.
She got some construction workers, told them their problem. They got it up to her
floor. Yeah. She kind of,
I'm sure she did,
flirted with them a little bit.
Yeah, they got it. She...
Good going.
I believe Brittany. They raised a crane for young Brittany.
Well, I'm glad she got it working out. So happy Thanksgiving, Brittany, and to her dad, Bill, I think.
Bill.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the podcast. Today's story is on Christine and Leah Papin. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. They were two sisters. They were French maids. Chuck, do you think they wore those little French maids outfits?
Oh, hell yeah, they did.
Like you get at Hustler.
Mm-hmm. The kind of devil, you got a French maid outfit.
I can neither confirm nor deny what's in my wardrobe.
How about you, Colonel? Do you have one at home?
You already know
the missus got one.
All right,
Chris. I got a butler uniform.
Do you?
Timmy, yeah.
Okay. So Christine and Leah Papin were two French maids. They were sisters, and they lived in Le Mans, France, which I believe is where they have the bicycle race, isn't it?
It's not a. They have and they have also a Grand Prix there.
Too. Maybe it's a Grand Prix I'm thinking of. Okay.
No, they do both.
Okay. So anyway,
not at the same time. That'd be dangerous.
Would be dangerous. So anyway, they were working as maids in 1933, and they end up murdering their employer and the employer's daughter, and the trial became a big sensation and media frenzy and in France at the time. So we're going to talk about that story.
But this is, when I saw this story, Timmy, didn't you think this really is the trifecta of stories?
It is, because it has a little bit of everything, as I mentioned.
You got murder.
You got a horrific murder.
You got mental illness.
You got mental illness.
And you got angry lesbians.
You got lesbians and allegations of incest.
That, you know what? That...
I mean, that hits all the hot spots.
It's the pretty perfect quad.
Unfounded allegations.
It's the perfect storm.
That's somewhat shaky, but it makes a better story.
Yeah.
So, and then you have politics involved in this because some of the French intellectuals try to argue that this case was a case of the class struggle between the wealthy and the working class. But we'll get into all that. But first, let me talk to you a little bit about the sisters. Okay, so Christine was born on March the 8th, 1905 in Le Mans. And her younger sister, Leah, was born on September 5th, 1911. So Leah is 5.5 years younger than Christine, Christine being the older sister. They also had an sister. They both had an older sister named Amelia, who ended up becoming a nun. And we'll talk a little bit about her later. But both Christine and Leah were very close. They were close in age. They were closer in age, and they were closer... we'll talk about how close they are in a little bit.
They are very close.
Yeah, very close. But they both spent some time in institutions growing up because their parents' marriage broke up. And as they grew older, though, they started working as maids in various house homes in the Le Mans area. And whenever they could, they tried to get a job where they were working together. And from 1926 on to 1933, they worked as live-in maids in the home of Monsieur René Lassien.
Monsieur.
Lassien.
He was a retired solicitor or a retired attorney in Le Mans. The family was made up of...
Aren't you a solicitor too?
I am, yes. The family was made up of his wife and his adult daughter, Genevieve. Genevieve was still living with her parents, which was kind of common in the day. If women were unmarried, they pretty much stayed with their parents.
She was a spinster.
Well, yeah, she was getting up there, I guess. Yeah. But anyway, the two maids were Christine and Leia lived with the family, and they lived in an attic upstairs, and they were very close. They kept very quiet. They kept to themselves. And they appeared to have no other interest only in each other. So they were their own best friends, and they didn't spend time with other people. They had seemingly no other interests outside the home. They just spent all their free time was spent in the attic with each other. And they worked with the Lassien family, as I said, from about 1926 to 1933, where our story begins.
Now, you know what made me think of something, Timmy, when you said something about that? And here's where we should give a shout-out to Dave Herman.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, really the most saintly guy you're ever going to meet.
Absolutely.
But if it weren't for Dave, don't you think the devil be a spinster right now?
I see her with a guy named Lanny, who works at the Jiffy Lube.
Well, yeah, that could be too.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Maybe he's got acne and he's got
living in a trailer park somewhere.
Yeah.
You'd be the queen of the trailer park.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Brandy, won't you tell us about the Pappin sisters?
All right. On a cold February night in 1933, retired lawyer Monsieur Lancelon.
Ooh, I like how you say that.
He
say that really
you've
slow.
You've been doing some role playing too, haven't you?
He say that again?
No. Was supposed to meet his wife and his daughter and daughter Genevieve for dinner at his brother-in-law's house, which would be his wife's brother.
Exactly. And I don't know why he was supposed to meet them there. Why didn't he just go pick them up? We don't know.
We don't know.
That's one of those questions we just don't know.
When he arrived at the home... Well, wait a minute. It says he's supposed to meet them there, but now the script says that he was going to pick them up.
Okay.
But when he arrived at the home, mm-hmm. He found the door bolted from the inside and no lights on, apart from the flickering candle in the attic window.
Okay, so they don't shut for the dinner. He goes to see what's the matter.
I haven't got that far. We got one of by land, two of by sea.
Okay,
here.
Go ahead.
All right. So he, arriving at his brother-in-law, Monsieur Renard's home, he discovered that the two women had not arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So he went back to his house with his brother-in-law, and they brought along several policemen who opened the window to the parlor.
Mm-hmm.
Once they got inside, they discovered that the electric didn't work, and they took a flashlight around and crept upstairs.
Okay.
Mr. Monsieur Lancelin's wife and daughter Genevieve had been beaten to death. Their faces were unrecognizable.
Oh, what a ghastly sight.
Oh my.
I can hear the terror in your voice. Their fingernails had been torn out. And the most distressing thing was that both women had their eyes gouged out by one of the sisters' fingers while they were still alive.
Half of them, the sisters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then whoever had used a hammer and knife to reduce both women to a bloody pulp.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, if you're going to do something, if you're going to have a horrific murder, you know, I always thought, like, poisoning was just a cowardly thing.
You know, a lot of women serial killers. Kind of less messy. A lot of female serial killers kill by poison.
Well, most of them do. That's how they do it, is poison.
But not this broad.
Well, these two crazy bitches, they just beat you with a hammer, gouge your eyes out.
Yeah, your eyes out, pull out your fingernails.
And wow. You know why?
They're not the press-on nails either.
What did we not have in 1933, Timmy?
Internet.
Cable.
Batteries.
Okay.
Batches.
And what? Hold on. Now, follow me here.
Oh, no.
Follow me.
I'm done following you. The road you're on has come to an end. It's a dead end
now
road.
Now, think about, what do you use batteries for?
Flashlights.
Devil, come on.
Flashlights.
You know you ain't using no batteries for. They didn't have the vibrators. They had pent-up sexual frustration. One of them said something, or you know what they didn't have in 1933?
You're the producer. You Reese need to cups. Do something with
yeah.
this.
Let's wait to get to theories.
They did have
Let's
Reese
go back
cups
to the crime scene.
Well, okay, so, but this so, sounds so like they PMS gone bad
so,
to me.
So
in both cases, most of the wounds were directed at their heads and their faces. And
yeah, they just beat them to the pulp.
Yeah.
They were unrecognizable.
And evidently tossed one of their eyes. They found one of the women's eyes on the floor nearby.
Yeah. But what do you do with an eyeball?
What, are they going to make a necklace out of it?
Madame Lenslin's eyes had been gouged out and were found in the folds of the scarf around her neck.
So they probably just rolled out?
I don't know. I imagine. There was so much blood on the carpet that it felt like red moss when you walked on it. The policemen slowly approached the attic, and they discovered the two family maids. Christine and was it Leah or is that what we
Leah.
Decided?
We're Leah. Gonna go with Leah. Yeah.
Wearing kimonos in bed, clutching one another.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There are accounts that said the two were reported to be naked, engaging in sex.
Oh yeah.
But most people agree that they were just kind of huddled together in fear. They were scared.
Now, we're not clear whether they were having
carnal
relations or just huddled together. So we'll let our listeners decide whether they was in a lesbian act or if they was huddled together. I don't think it's for us
to
decide.
Well, thank you for voicing that.
Yeah, I will point out that one of the theories is that they were, some of the stories were that they were naked in bed together.
Right.
And some of the speculation was that they were naked because they just removed all their bloody clothing because their clothes had just been covered with blood
it's a better story if they're naked.
Yeah, I agree. I love the incestual lesbian relationships. I love the thought of that.
You love a good incest sex lesbian relationship?
Well, it depends on if they're attractive or not. There again, it all depends on if the lesbians are attractive.
It's true because you get ugly lesbian twins.
They don't do nothing for you. The whole world. Mm-hmm.
But you run into a set of lesbian twins that are hot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
They can have their own YouTube channel.
So they immediately confessed. They just, you know, they did it.
They spilled the guts.
They had taken off their clothes because they'd clearly been stained and, you know, they were covered with blood. They'd washed their hands and their faces. They cleaned the murder weapons, which had consisted of a carving knife, a hammer, and a pewter pitcher.
Once again, if you have a hammer,
I hammer in the morning.
Yeah.
Evidently, if you have a pewter pitcher, you can hammer in the morning. It had been so damaged, it was useless. You couldn't hold anything in it. The elder sister, Christine, claimed that while ironing, the fuses blew. And it was the second time that week that it had happened. And it set off a confrontation between Christine and Madame Lancelot.
Well, there ain't nothing piss somebody off like a blow.
Why don't you use a penny?
I don't know. This is sketchy. I don't understand. You really? Somebody loses their face over a blown fuse.
Here's where I gotta stop. Listeners.
Hammer time.
When your fuse blows, do not use a penny. It's not safe. Your house will burn down. Don't listen to him.
Nobody should be listening to Tim.
Yeah, when it comes to electrical home improvement, they put a penny in there.
Don't listen to any of us.
That's the craziest damn thing I ever seen.
Okay, don't put a penny in it. But let me go back to the story, because I think this is important. This was what...
Oh, well, Tim thinks it's
this important. Is what Christine confessed to. This is what she says was the genesis of this argument.
Yeah, a fuse blew.
Yeah, but
sounds like
there
somebody
are
blew a fuse.
Again yeah. there are those who said there was this long history of this abusive relationship between the employer and the two maids. Remember, they worked together. They worked with them for 6 years.
Right.
So there were a lot of people who believe that the wife was very abusive to Christine and to.
And they just had enough.
Yeah, and she just flipped out.
So the sisters were arrested, and they were taken to the police station, still in their kimonos, despite the February weather. The town, obviously was shocked. They were taken aback.
They were taken aback.
By the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Because the sisters had worked for this family for 6 years, since Christine was 21 and Leah was 15. They had a reputation for being very good workers. They were quiet and kept to themselves. They didn't have any outside friends that anybody knew about. There you had work references that described them as honest, industrious, and proper. They had no criminal record. They didn't appear to have any vices. They went to church regularly.
Well, unless you consider going down on your sister a vice.
Really? Is that, but,
come on. Really depends on if you're in West Virginia or not.
Yeah. Yet suddenly... these two quiet maids had been turned into monsters.
I'd have turned them into stars.
Well, people in this town, they weren't resting. Their servants, the people in their employ could come at any time and beat the shit out of them with a pewter pitcher. Yeah,
that's when you start chopping the firewood on your own and hiding.
Well, exactly. This becomes like now they're concerned about another French Revolution going on here, because all of a sudden the hired help is bashing the heads in of the employers.
Well, and granted, she probably deserved it, but...
The other thing that I've read in some accounts is that one account was that Mrs. Lassian, the wife, had walked.
Is that how you say that?
I don't know how you said it better, but she had walked in on him while they were having a liaison.
Oh, so we're still back on that.
Yeah and
we're going to stay on the liaison part.
She threatened to fire them and that they would never work together again.
You would never work in this town.
She was
going to
blackball them.
And nothing will make a lesbian more pissed off than
blackballs.
Or there was a box. She was box blocking them.
Yes, she was.
She probably didn't get them anything for Boxer Day.
Yeah.
I think this all stems from, there's one or two things that could happen. One, she made, and all the missus that got her eyes gouged
out
was, hey, girls, I'm going to need you to clean the carpet. You're good at that, so do it right.
You think that's what happened?
And they took it wrong. They took offense. All the woman wanted was a rug cleaned, or the rug coming into the doorway. She's like, girls, get that carpet clean. Come on, do it right this time. And they were like, what, we've been cleaning carpet for the last 8 years, and beat it with a hammer? Or, because they're like great white sharks.
You know, when she blew a fuse, she really blew a fuse.
Yeah. Well, my guess is...
Brandy, that was funny.
It was.
As sisters, they were close, and this is a scientific fact, that women who spend lots of time together, their menstrual cycles tend to... regulate, so they're at the same time. Is that not a fact?
That's fact.
So now, this poor woman, the poor lady of the house, come in and happened to ask one of the girls just to iron a shirt for her while one of them got the PMS. Uh-huh. And while one of them got the PMS, and they just went into a feeding frenzy. Because you know what it's like. I've asked, one time I asked Renee... to just give me a couple, she got me some ice water, and I said, could I have some ice water? And she brought me a cup of water, and I was like, thank you, sweetie. I just wanted, you know, maybe an ice cube or two in there. She had the PMS. I got 3 stitches, Timmy.
Yeah.
3 stitches.
You gotta be careful. As you should have.
Just for asking for some ice. So anyway.
But this becomes, this becomes a...
It becomes sensationalized. Yeah. It was a crime of the century, according to the French press. Yeah,
the tabloids get a hold of it.
Oh, yeah.
Lesbianism, incest, you know, all this.
Everything you want to hear in a good story.
Exactly.
Now, it made articles made the way all the way to the pages of New York Magazine, spreading the sister's infamy all the way across the Atlantic Ocean.
It's a big deal.
Oh, yeah, that infamy was spread faster than crabs. Mm-hmm. But now, there was speculation.
There were international lesbians.
There was speculation. This long before Martina Navratilova made it cool.
Yeah.
So there were speculations that the two sisters were lovers because they were found in bed together. Yeah. Now, were they having a sexual relationship? If so, it was both homosexual and incestuous.
Yeah.
Which...
That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
That's that's double trouble.
So now they're just... They're age 21 and 27 and they're infamous. Mm-hmm. So, suddenly the names Christine and Lee Papin were known throughout the world, and the public was inflamed in a way that rarely happens unless a particularly brutal and large-scale massacre take place. I mean, it was just...
They were inflamed.
They were inflamed. It was
like
just crazy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The tabloids just
went... He's adding a zest of drama to this.
The tabloids went berserk calling the sisters colorful. They called them the monsters or Lamans. Lambs who became wolves and the raging sheep.
That's not right.
The raging sheep. Now, that's a good name for a football team, though. Raging sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Have to mark that one down. Write that down, devil.
Yeah.
Anyway, now they worked for this employer for 7 years and always been good girls. So, you know, they had no criminal record. And here's what gets interesting. It piqued the interest of intellectuals such as Jock, and this is a good one,
mm-hmm,
Cock.
Okay. That's probably not how you pronounce
it. It's not how you pronounce it in French, but
that's how you pronounce it.
And Jean-Paul Sartre, who believed that the crime was evidence of a class struggle. The working class rising up against the bourgeois.
Yeah.
Beating those some bitches with hammers. Wow. That's where you get the hammer and the sickle and the thing.
And then as soon as you do that, you go up and get your little poo-tang.
Right. So they argued that, you know, these intellectuals are saying they were repressed by their employees. They had to work 12 to 14 hours a day with only a half day off a week.
That would suck.
And they had to use that half off to go down on each other. So they really had no time together. I mean, when you think about it.
Because that's a job. We know that's a job.
That's a half day job right there, yeah. Jack.
Like, yeah, are you going to finish sometime soon?
Of course, they probably knew, you know, they probably did it quicker because they knew the way around the...
Well, because they were sisters. They had to know the landscape.
You know, I bet they could even find each other G-spots, too.
Probably.
It's like twins. They can finish each other's sentences, find each other G-spots.
Well, it's kind of like they're masturbating because they're that close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and really, when it comes to it, Nobody loves you like yourself.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, anyway, now at the trial, it was revealed that Madame Lansaline routinely wore white gloves to test the furniture.
And she does sound like a bitch. I got to admit.
And that she commented on Christine's cooking by having formal notes delivered to the kitchen by a younger daughter, Genevieve, who still lived at home.
So wait a minute, she had formal notes. So she'd write up these real formal memos, I guess, to send to the sisters about the
cooking. Yeah, she'd send the memos while they was cooking. So
yeah. That's how you get your head bashed in right there.
Really, well,
that's how you get urine in your soup is what happens.
True.
And then Madam also forced Leah to get down on her knees. Ooh, here we go. This is a good part. Oh, she just had to retrieve a piece of paper. She forgot Mark Lena. Never mind. But she did make her get down on her knees, so that was kind of...
That was an act of dominance, I think.
Yeah. But now, Madame was not a cruel woman. She allowed them to have heat in the attic bedroom.
She gave
them enough to eat, although Christine did not know if her employer was kind because she had never spoken to them.
I wonder if Madame ever worked as management at Walmart.
This is what's interesting. Christine did not know if her employer was kind because she had never spoken to them in her 6 years of service.
Wow. You know, there's a professional line you don't want to cross. Yeah. Talking to your employees is that line.
That's where
you got to send formal letters.
Yeah. Now, so the girls are locked up, and Christine just starts to become just really weird. She starts having extreme visions and just unholy, devil-like reactions. She kept calling for her sister Leah, who'd been separated. And then when the sisters were reunited, Christine's behavior was inappropriately sexual toward her sister. It was just not. They put him in the same jail cell. All of a sudden, they got to throw cold water on him. They're like, get off.
Well, you know, if they were both living in the same jail cell compared to that house they were working in, they were probably better off.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, in July, Christine had another episode, and she tried to gouge her own eyes out and had to be put in a straitjacket. Now, you know what a straitjacket like, devil. You've been on one before.
Yeah.
On the day after the attack, Christine called for the investigating magistrate and gave him a new statement, which she said she had not told him the whole truth before.
So she's retracting her confession.
Well, she's adding to it.
Okay.
That she had killed the two women as a result of the same kind of fit that came over her when she tried to gouge her eyes out.
So Christine is claiming insanity at this point.
And Leah had not taken part. Now, the judge dismissed this statement as a way of trying to get her sister off, which is kind of funny because she'd been getting her sister off for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But the jury treated it with just the same contempt.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Leah insisted that she'd take him. Leah was like, no, I was in the murders. I was doing it, too.
Yeah. So I think she got involved. I won't give my opinion, but go ahead.
So they sit in prison for 8 months, and they're finally tried. The defense argued that the women were victims of harsh childhood and mental illness ran in the family. Now, Christine and Papan had grown up in the villages of South Lamont. There was evidence, much like... And you know what, devil? This one I don't get. Now, I met Casey, right?
He seems normal.
Now, your dad is a respected law enforcement officer.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So insanity don't run in your family. It just seems to start with you.
I see.
It tends to run in families, but how to explain the devil? Was you adopted? Was you what? There's something we don't know about you?
She's a bad seed.
Okay, we'll get back to the story. It was a curious side note. I just wanted to find... Just trying to get to know my coworkers a little bit better. Okay? Something bad happened to you? I don't know. Did you get hit head injury or something? Fall off the monkey bars?
Yeah, I'm the one with the head injury here. Yeah.
So anyway, there was evidence that insanity ran in the family. Their paternal grandfather had been given to violent attacks of temper. Sound like the devil there.
Yeah, maybe it skips a generation or something.
Epileptic fits. And some of the relatives have died in asylums or committed suicide. Actually, that sounds more like my family than the devil family. But
your mother died of cancer.
Yeah, she had the cancer.
But she's dead, and we're over it now.
She is dead. We're not over it.
They're all dead. Chuck is...
Death is his co-pilot.
Death is his co-pilot.
Death, take the wheel. Now, they had another sister, Amelia, who became a nun. Now, Christine and Amelia had lived in an orphanage at Lamaze for 7 years. Later on, the mother revealed that Amelia had been raped by their father, who was drunk when she was only 9 years old.
So there's some
so incest just ran rampant.
Sexual abuse going on in the family. And my guess is that he's done it with one of them. He's probably done it with all three. But
well, and Leah, she was looked after by an uncle took her in. And, you know, he probably given her the special pony ride, too.
Well, that's probably why they prefer women.
Prefer each other. Mm-hmm. Now, as they grew older, they became maids, you know, and that's what women really are built to do, is become maids or prostitutes, but they got all the tools for it.
Well, there's waitresses.
Waitresses, yeah. Cocktail waitresses.
You said prostitutes.
Huh?
And you've already said prostitutes.
Prostitutes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and this is what this is where the Colonel got a little problem with society here, Timmy.
Please expound on that.
Okay, now the good Lord has blessed the Colonel with certain physical attributes, okay? Mm-hmm. So if I want to go out and be a welder, be a construction worker, you know, I'm more powerful than a woman. I'm more stronger than a woman.
Really?
And so I could go do those things better than she can.
Mm-hmm.
And then the good Lord blessed the women with some attributes like, you know, breastesses and whatnot. But they can't make money off their assets and attributes.
It's just a new... It's not fair. You just come up with new bullshit.
I'm trying to stick up for you here, devil.
Is a new...
Well, you obviously...
Spewing of gay suffer from...
The Colonel of feminists.
They suffer from penis envy.
They do, but the Colonel... You know, the Colonel a full-fledged feminist. And I think if you want to be a Jezebel heathen, you ought to have the right to sell your body.
Mm-hmm.
Or to rent it out for short periods of time, anyway. But that's neither here nor there.
Most of your comments.
But,
Jesus.
Now, here's what you got to understand about this family. There was quite a degree of dysfunction in it.
Really?
Now, while there was at the orphanage, the mother used to visit the sisters regularly, mm-hmm. but there was always friction between her and Christine, the oldest, which tends to happen when you're in a goddamn orphanage and your mama coming to visit you.
Yeah.
Because if your mama really cared about you, you wouldn't be in the damn orphanage.
Well, maybe she couldn't afford to raise them. You know, orphans.
That's when she should have become a prostitute.
Well, so maybe anyway. She wasn't attractive.
No, did you see Jack the Ripper? Those prostitutes was all ugly in that
thing. Yeah, back in the 19th century.
Yeah, all you had to do was have not wear underwear.
Well, they only cost you a bob.
It did. A bob or two. Yeah. Cost you a town now and again. But anyway, their mother used to write to them on occasion after this rip, but they was ignored. Now we get to the trial. This trial is just a national event, and it's attended by it's packed. It's like the
OJ trial.
I'm going to use the cliche. It's like the OJ trial at the mm-hmm. time. Police had to be called in to control the crowds. Now, the sisters...
Did the gloves fit?
They did that... Well, if the IUD fits, you must have quit or something like that. But
that doesn't ring at all. You are no Johnny Cochran,
sir. I know. It's the sisters did not deny killing the people.
Right.
Okay. They just denied that they had a sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Because to them, that was just crossing the line. Gouging somebody's eyeball out and beating them over the head with a hammer.
Well, you got to remember,
that's acceptable behavior to the sisters.
This is 1930, and one did not go around bragging about having being gay or lesbian. And
or your sister's incestuous lesbian lover.
Exactly.
So now, not surprisingly, because they had confessed quite a bit, and they were found huddled together in a bloody heap having sex together when the police got there, they were found guilty. Mm-hmm. Christine was sentenced to death at the guillotine. She was going to get her head chopped right off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as the sentence was pronounced, Christine got a case of the vapors, fell to her knees, and had to be assisted by a lawyer.
Well, you know, when you get sentenced to the guillotine, that does tend to...
It tend to rattle you a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what, the Colonel? I've been sentenced to a firing squad before.
Yeah.
You didn't see me all fired, falling down, whatnot.
No. You didn't see that at all.
But anyway, Now, Leah, for her part, she was found guilty of the murder of the madam, but she had not been charged with the murder of the daughter, Genevieve. And because doctor concluded that Genevieve had died before Leah had joined in the murder...
So they killed the daughter first, it sounds
Yeah.
like.
Christine okay. killed the daughter
Christine
first.
Christine killed the daughter, killed daughter first. So all she was doing was beating a dead horse is what she was right. doing. The younger sister was sentenced to 10 years hard labor. Now, the jury found some extenuating circumstances in her case because she had been completely dominated by the overweening Christine.
Yeah, they said she had a...
The over what?
Overweening.
What did they say she had a... what type of personality? I forget, like a subservient personality. Mm-hmm.
She had a submissive personality, mm-hmm. and Christine was the dominant one. She used to give her some lashes in the bed.
We don't
she used to
that.
Spank her when she was bad. She would.
She was the older sister.
Yeah, she was the older sister, so they would, you know, do the lesbian spanking stuff and whatnot. Now the other sister Amelia, who become a nun, they had the other sister Amelia become a nun, and Christine and Amelia, of course, they lived in that orphanage. Now Leah.
So this is after. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And, but of course there's speculation that they were,
There's no speculation.
That they had been, you know, quite severely sexually abused. And, you know, so they tried to take that into consideration. Now, while in prison, Christine's condition deteriorated rapidly. She was profoundly depressed over being separated from Leah and refused to eat. She couldn't find a good roommate, I guess. But she became progressively worse. Now, she got transferred to an asylum and didn't show the slightest signs of improvement and died in 1937.
So 4 years later, she
yeah.
dies. In
yeah, she was asylum. Pretty young. Mm-hmm. Now, Leah got released from prison in 1941, her sentence being reduced for good behavior, and that's because they had a female warden at the prison,
that's
and Leah
true.
Was
really?
Leah was her personal assistant. And
Orange is the New Black.
You're just making stuff mm-hmm. up. Like,
yeah.
you just make it up. It
okay, but
matter.
In my head, this is what I want to see.
Well, how about this? If we stick with some semblance of the truth, perhaps...
Okay.
We can keep people listening.
In all of my research... Now,
the musings
okay.
in your head are
Let
not going to do
say,
it.
He cannot rule it out.
The musings
well,
in his
am
head.
I, all I'm saying is, in my research that I did extensively on this prison...
For 5 seconds.
I could not... And typically, in a female prison, they had a female warden,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, typically.
And a female
in the United
wardens
States, I'm not sure how it is in France.
Were typically a little... For lack of a better term, bull dykish.
Oh my God!
And now
I'm not sure if that's appropriate term to use.
You got a girl named like Leah, okay? Now she been, like I said, she been cleaning more carpet than Hoover going through there. And now you got a bull dykish warden. Was
and you know
was
they had,
the,
you know they had the big bush. Back
I need
in
you
the
to
30s.
Come back.
Yeah,
come back.
So
come back.
How does Leah get this? What is considered good behavior?
Yeah.
Well, is visiting the warden's suite.
I'm going to need you to come
every
back.
Every night. Well, I'm just saying.
Just come back.
Yeah, come back to the truth.
We
yeah.
have to speculate on
Welcome.
A lot of stuff, and
yeah.
that's my speculation.
Okay.
No, you didn't have to do that.
But when you get out of prison after 4 years, after you beat somebody with a damn hammer, you've been doing something. You've been doing something in prison.
She goes and lives with her mother.
So now she goes to live with her mother in France. She got a job as a maid in a hotel under a fake name.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, how do you, boy, they need to do some background checks.
Nobody
right.
really knows when she died. Some people say she lived to be up until
yeah.
1982. And but a documentary filmmaker named Claude Ventura claimed that he had discovered that Leah was still alive and living in hospice in 2000 when he was working on a documentary about the sisters.
Good Lord.
I know. That word's killing me here. Now, the woman died that he claimed to be Leah. The woman died in 2001, but the jury's still out whether he was right or wrong.
So let's get to the real...
Now, what really appears to happen, Christine appears to have suffered from paranoid schizophrenia. Now, if you know anything about schizophrenia,
I'm sure you, you know,
it's put out in movies, you know, like the crazy people who kill people who are schizophrenic. Schizophrenics are typically not very dangerous people at all. They're not very dangerous at all. The small percentage of people who are paranoid schizophrenics are extremely dangerous people.
And that usually, starts, you start seeing that in behavior in the late 20s, which is where, as the age Christine was when this happened.
Yeah, and with schizophrenics, you have the voices, the hallucinations, auditory things, and it makes, it's life's just a living hell for them, and they live in a different reality, and they're a little bit scared.
Kind of like sitting here listening to you do this podcast?
A little bit, yeah.
Especially in the 1930s when there was no medication for it.
But the paranoid schizophrenics get in the head that certain people are out to get them, and that's when they become dangerous. And what could have happened is that, you know, Christine started thinking that, you know, this family was really going to get it. And you're right, Timmy. Back in the 30s, you know, now she'd be treated with a bunch of different drugs. But in the 30s, there was no real treatment for it. Now, Leah, she didn't really show any signs of any mental illness, except for she was very anxious and prone to panic attacks when under stress.
Yeah, so, you got to think that she somewhat was a caretaker in that relationship. Kind of looking out for her sister. And
during the trial, doctors testified that.
Testified what?
During the trial, doctors testified that Leah's personality seemed to have disappeared completely into. Leah's personality just. Disappeared completely into Christine's. Yeah,
it was.
And the employers never had a bad word to say about Leah, whereas Christine had a difficult personality, much like the devil. It's like really Casey and the devil here.
Yeah,
Casey, sweetest guy you ever meet, nice guy, reasonable, smart, and then you got the devil, difficult person, hard to deal with. Yeah. You know, it's
scared, paranoid, schizophrenic.
Casey Younger, right?
Yes.
Pretty much like in the same way. I wouldn't say that she's the devil's schizophrenic. I just say she's evil. The devil.
Yeah. Yes, no, there's
I mean that in a loving way. We've been together a long time.
I know you do. We have been together a long time. So you should really watch your words.
Yeah.
As you know, I don't take kindly to falsehoods being thrown about.
Well, I don't know that a jury will find out a falsehood.
Oh.
But anyway. Leah's tragedy was that she was so dominated by her sister. One employer had, in fact, suggested to Leah's mother that she should place the girls in separate jobs because Christine was such a bad influence on her. And
looking back, that was probably a good idea.
Yeah, the two sisters seemed to suffer what's called shared paranoid disorder.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to occur in small groups or pairs.
That's what Timmy has.
From people.
except I'm by
Timmy
myself.
And his cat.
He's by himself. Tim and his cat got the paranoid disorder.
My cat does when it rains.
What the fuck you
got? My cat goes crazy when it rains.
This cat's going to eat your mushy parts.
Yeah. My cat needs some Xanax.
Now, you also... But anyway, this happens to people who are in small groups of pairs who become isolated from the world, and it leads to an intense, inward-looking existence with a paranoid view of the outside world.
They were kind of abandoned by their parents or their mother. They had a sister who was abused and left a home. They were put in institutions, so they really depended on each other. So you can see
only view of the world was from between each other's legs.
They had that is speculation.
Well, anyway, now. Jean Genet was so taken by this case that he loosely based his most famous play, Les Bonheurs.
No.
Les Bonheurs?
Les Bonheurs.
No.
Lesbonnes.
Which is, there's no R. So
the French add R's to everything.
They don't.
That rolling R. I think that's Spanish.
And, that's translated to the maids. It's called The Maids. In his play, two women, or women played by men, because, you know, the French and British tend to do women.
Be kind.
No, really. They could be played in theater.
This is not theater. British. And this is.
Yeah, in the play, the two women, it says it right here.
Okay.
Were women played by men.
Okay.
Role played a part of mistress while the real mistress is out of the house. So the crime is. This crime's continued to fascinate writers and filmmakers in France as well as other countries. Mm-hmm. Ruth Rendell wrote a novel based on the crime, and several others have too. Two films have been released in the last 10 years, an English film called Sister, My Sister.
Captain. Sister, My Sister. I watched part of that. It was actually pretty good. There were some hot lesbian scenes in it. And the actresses were pretty hot. The real...
Jolie Redgrave was in it.
The real sisters were not that attractive.
Who's Jolie Redgrave?
I hate to.
Vanessa Redgrave's...
daughter.
Granddaughter, I believe.
Granddaughter.
Yeah, and Jodie May... if you remember, Lee made Red's first baseman. That's his great-granddaughter.
That is not true.
Based on a play by the American playwright Wendy Kesselman and a French film, Les Blessés Assassines, or called The Murderous Maids in English,
by filmmaker
Jean-Pierre Denis.
Sister, My Sister is available on YouTube. And I watched part of it. It's actually pretty good, but I don't speak French. You have to watch it with subtitles. But there were some hot lesbian scenes in it. That was in 1994, that movie came out. Oops. And as...
you know, do you remember, Timmy, the movie The Hunger?
No.
Oh, Timmy. It had... somebody looked that up for me. Give me an intern. One of you interns back there, look up The Hunger.
Yeah, somebody should movie find her hunger. Interns first.
Okay, so anyway, Brandy, your final...
Jolie Richardson, that's her name.
What's your final thoughts on the Papon sisters?
My final thoughts is with Jolie Richardson that starred in that movie. I thought that was not right. Okay. Jolie Richardson.
About
the first of all, not lesbians. Leave them alone. They were not lesbians.
The maids?
They were crazy, but they were not lesbians.
They was lesbians.
No, just because you want them to be lesbians does not make it so.
Everybody. Okay, so
and
I'm
so,
going to take the words.
In closing, since Chuck is now going to be quiet since he has dominated this entire podcast with his drivel.
Yes.
I just want to wish everybody a safe holiday. And a very, very happy Thanksgiving.
Well, that's fine, but what do you think about the sisters?
I just told you what I thought about the sisters.
No, you said
they're not lesbians. They're not lesbians. They totally did it. They were abused. This lady that they were working for abused them, and they got done. So, you know, I feel that way a lot.
Yeah. Okay. You feel that way about your producer at all?
I wish I had a hammer.
I kind of agree.
A pewter pitcher.
I kind of agree with you. I think the Colonel's theory about Christine, she exhibited signs of paranoid schizophrenia. I think that's probably what happened. And Leia was just going along for the ride trying to protect her sister. And unfortunately, she snapped and... she gouged out the eyes of her employer, and by the way, we've all wanted to do that at one point or another in our lives.
Yeah, most of them have had it coming.
Yeah, I worked at Pizza Hut, and there's several people there I would like to have gouged out their eyes, but I didn't. Because, one, it would have ruined my career as I catapulted to the rank of crew leader.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
After only 7 years.
Well,
there you go.
You were a rising star.
I was. Colonel, your final thoughts on the Papon sisters?
Well, on the Papon sisters, I will, you can go and watch the movies, but there's one I'm going to recommend to you. I just mentioned the interns got back with me.
Uh-huh.
Frankie, the intern back there, and Frankie only got one eye, so it's hard for him to Google stuff. But,
oh, yeah, well, with one eye, it would be hard to Google.
Yeah. It's called The Hunger. It was released in 1983. It's got Susan Sarandon and Catherine Deneuve. How do you pronounce that, Timmy?
I don't know.
You know who I'm talking about. Catherine Deneuve or Deneuve.
I have no idea. I'm texting.
You know who I'm talking about right here.
Spit it out.
it's my two... it combines my two favorite movie genres, lesbians and vampires.
Yeah, sure. I knew it was about
it's a very erotic
Egyptian vampire, isn't it?
It's a very erotic movie, and it's very well acted. And
you're going to need it because you're not getting laid for the nice next 6 years anyway.
Shots in it of both.
Maybe you can answer this question for us, Brandy. Why do women get so turned on by vampires?
Yeah.
God, I don't know.
Do you have that inclination?
No.
No.
I mean, there were some hot vampires, but it's not the thought of the vampire. I mean, you watch True Blood. It wasn't the vampires themselves. It wasn't the vampire-ness of them that was hot. It was always just them.
Oh, just the actor or whoever?
Yeah, because Bela Lugosi, not hot.
You would not bang Bela Lugosi.
I would not bang Bela
Lugosi. Go on record.
I want to go on record that I am strongly opposed to banging Bela Lugosi.
What about Christopher Lee?
No. No. No,
he did some of the best vampire movies.
No, those not Hammer Christopher movies. Lee, not Wesley Snipes, not
Eddie Murphy did a vampire in Brooklyn. And you know, I think what it is with men, Timmy, is we're just attracted to anything that needs to suck on something all the time.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Colonel, where can people find us?
Well, right. And I mentioned we're going to be presenting at the Country Music Awards.
We're not.
We are going to be one of the main speakers at PodCon.
We are not. We are not.
Okay. Well, if we're not going to be there, you can find us on iTunes.
iTunes, that's true.
iTunes, look up History Dweebs, leave us a review, a rating, even if it's a bad one. If it's a bad one,
keep an eye out. Just keep an eye over your shoulder.
Yeah, look over your shoulder because Johnny Footstool left a bad one and he didn't.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on. And if you really like history and you don't like the drivel the devil putting out here all the time, you want some true facts, look true on facts. Our Facebook page. Facts.
That's crazy.
Look on our Facebook page because Timmy does a good job of keeping that updated
while he
is not chatting with.
Whores.
Women, yeah, potential prostitutes from across the world on his phone. But he does do a good job of keeping that up, and some very interesting things pop up on there. Let's see, where else can you find us? You can find us if you come to Cincinnati, you can find us.
And we don't want people to do that.
Come to Cincinnati, find us. You can come in, sit in, and...
if you send us an email, historydweebs@gmail.com, we will give you a shout-out next time on the next podcast. How's that? Yeah, historydweebs@gmail.com.
And we're about due for another segment of Ask the Colonel. So if you need life coaching advice from the Colonel,
we can
send your email in.
Okay.
Put it on your Facebook.
So thank you, everyone, for joining
us. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, folks.
Sing a Thanksgiving song for us, Brandy.
No.
All right. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, fans.
Good day.
Good day, people.